Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahanau Bhunaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Chanted any of this yet? Pardon? Have we chanted anything yet?
Yes, we chanted the two first.
Okay, then let's chant from 3, 4, and 5. Let's see if we can do those.
Shaptasparshadayo vedyaha
Vaichitriya jagare prithak
Vaichitriya jagare prithak
Tato vibhakta tat sambit
Tato vibhakta tat sambit
Aikya rupyana vidyate vidyate
Aikya rupyana vidyate
Tata swapnetra vedyam tu
Tata swapnetra vedyam tu
Nastiram jagare sthiram
Nastiram jagare sthiram
Tadvedotastayo samvit Eka rupana vidyate Sukto tithasya saushupta Tamo bodho bhavet smritihi
Sachava buddha vishaya
Avabuddham
Tat tadatamaha.
That's good. Might do more, I'm not sure. Okay, having the first two verses were the prayer verses that we went over. Now, he's going to start this teaching really doing the Avastha Trayasakshi Prakriya. So let's go over that. So you say Avastha means a state of experience is an Avastha. Avastha Traya, the three states of experience, means waking, dream, deep sleep. So if you say Avastha Traya, the three states of experience. Avastha Trayasakshi means the one who is the witness of the three states of experience. And once we say that, there's going to be a subject, object, seer, seen, etc., differentiation between the self and the three states of experience. And that creates a viveka, a discrimination between myself and these waking, dream, and deep sleep states, each one of them negating each other. Okay, so this is an analysis in the way that Vidyaranya's analysis of this particular prakriya, this particular teaching methodology. Okay, so let's repeat after me for this first verse 3. Shabda. Sparsha. Adayaha. Vedyaha. Vaichitriyat.
Jagare
Prithak
Tataha
Vibhakta
Tam Samvit
Aikarupyat
Na Vidyate
na vidyate.
So here, remember these sense objects. He gives the two shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. Right? So shabda is sound, sparsha is touch, rupa is form, like color, what I see with my eyes. Rasa is taste, gandha is smell. So where he says, shabda sparshadiyaha. So these five sense objects, beginning with shabda sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. Okay? Vedyaha. Vedyaha means, comes from the root vid. Vid means is the root to know. So vedya, vedyaha, those things which can be known, means objects of knowledge. So you can just say objects. There are things that can be known, means they're objectifiable. They're objects of knowledge. So here it says, these sense objects, shabda sparsha, etc., these objects of knowledge, vaichitriyat jagare pratak. They are each one of them separate from each other. We don't take like the object, even say if you take one thing like shabda. There's not just one shabda, there's not just one sound. There are many, many sounds. And not only that, the shabda, the sounds are completely different from sparsha, from touch. And there are many, many different types of touch. So there's a tremendous diversity here. So what he says here, These sense objects, beginning with shabda, sparsha, etc., these things which are objects of knowledge, knowable, jagare, in the waking state. So jagare means waking state. Pratak, they are each separate, individual, one. That's pratak. They're one. Each one is different from each other. Why? Vaichitriya. Because of the diversity in the qualities of each one. You know, each one is described differently, they're experienced differently. So the fact that there's more than one sense object is something very, very well known, that we experience this plethora, actually this huge, I mean vast, amount of diversity between all of our objects of knowledge, each object of knowledge being separate and different from the other. So, so we recognize the diversity in this creation in terms of the sense objects, in the waking state. Then he says, tattaha vibhakta tatsamvit. He says, but consciousness is vibhakta, is different, tattaha, from them. It's not the same. It's not like, here's a bunch of sounds, and here are a bunch of things to be felt, and here are a bunch of forms to be seen, and here are a bunch of consciousnesses. Right? That's not how it is. Consciousness is of a whole different order. It's something to be differentiated from these objects of knowledge. Consciousness is not an object of knowledge. Okay, so he says, the samvit, the consciousness is vibhakta, samvit is feminine. Consciousness is different, tattaha, from each one of these. From this sound, from this sound, from this sound, from this form, from this form, from this form. Consciousness is different from each and every one of those. Differentiated from each and every one of them. It says, so it says like this. So if I take the whole thing, tattaha, vibhakta, tatsamvit. The consciousness of these, right? The consciousness of all of these things is different from them. It's a different order of reality. If I break my experience into subject-object, the consciousness is not going to be the object, it will be the subject. Right? If I break it into knower-known, the sense objects in the waking state, they are always known. This is known, this is known, this is known, this is known. Now, when I say that, this object is known, this object is known, this object is known, this object is known. I could go on infinitely. So many objects are known. In the waking state, this is known, this is known, this is known. The differentiation, there's a differentiation between each one of these things that are known, and each one of these things is differentiated from the consciousness, but from the knower, so to speak, as though the sakshi. It's differentiated from the sakshi, but I can't differentiate the sakshi from the sakshi. I can't say, okay, here are all these objects, and then each one of these objects is known. So now if I say, this object is known, this object is known, this object is known, does that mean that the knownness or the consciousness which illumines this object is one consciousness, the consciousness that illumines this object is another consciousness, and the consciousness that enjoys this object is another consciousness. So then we have three consciousnesses and three objects. Right? Wrong. So he says the consciousness of these itself is separate from them. True. Subject, object, the consciousness is different from them. He says, but samvit ekarupyat nibhidyate, but the consciousness itself, nibhidyate, is not divided. Means there isn't this consciousness and this consciousness and this consciousness. There's no division in consciousness. And why? Because consciousness is aikyarupya, means it is homogeneous. It is just of one nature. Even like I can say, and everybody would be nodding, like I said before, you know, there's not one sound, there are many sounds. Mm, yeah. There's not one thing to touch, there are many sensations of touch. Ah, yeah. We know that. But now, order of artists, okay, we all know, of course, there are many, many consciousnesses. Many consciousnesses, you know. What does that mean? This is known, this is known, this is known, this is known. That's four. But where's the division of consciousness? That's the thing. That's where the viveka is. What they say is because we ourselves, as ajnanis, we do not have many experiences of me. We don't have many experiences of known. This is very, very beautiful viveka to make. Like even if language can get in the way of this. Like if I say, this is known, this is known, this is known, this is known. Just talking about our objects of perception, all of these things are known in many, many ways. Means this is known, this is known, this is known. So all of these things are different, so they're known differently. That's how I think. But I have to have a viveka between what is known, you know, the object of what is known, and the knownness itself. So instead of using knownness, like sometimes Swamiji will say it like this. Okay, here is object consciousness, we say sound consciousness, form consciousness, you know, wall consciousness, rug consciousness. All of these words like sound, wall, rug, all of these are different words. They're all differentiated from one another. But when I say rug consciousness becomes the noun. And the rug and wall become like attributes of consciousness. And so then consciousness, in terms of words, the consciousness word remains the same. And all of the other words divide up into thousands and thousands of different namarupas. Consciousness doesn't in terms of language. Then the question is, okay, well, in terms of language, consciousness stays the same, you know. So if it says, like in reference to all of these objects, I would say the consciousness remains the same because in reference to my own self-experience, I am the one knower of all of these objects. You can just start through there. I am the knower of this, I am the knower of this, I am the knower of this. There is no change in me, the one who is the subject of these perceptions. The perceptions are varied, the subject is the same. And so say we think like that. Well, if I say, this is just using language again, this is known, this is known, this is known, this is known, how many knowers are there for that known? There's only one knower. If I'm just talking, just as an ajnani, I'm just talking, I am the one person here, you know, the one who's giving the class and giving this language, all this language. I am the one who was having this, so this is known, this is known, this is known, this is known. It means I am the knower of this, I am the knower of this, I am the knower of this, I am the knower of this. Another language, I am the conscious being because of which all of these things are known. We have to keep, you know, kind of dissecting the language and saying things a little differently. Like if I say, I am the knower of this and of this and of this and of this. Then going back to Tattva Bodha, some things that we had pointed out. When I say, I am the knower of this and this and this and this, there is an ignorance in that language. And the ignorance is putting that on the knower, right? I am the knower. When my actual experience is, not that I am the knower of this, but this is known and this is known and this is known and this is known, which means I am the conscious being, because of just changing the language, I am the conscious being, because of which all of these things are illumined, right? And all of these things that are illumined are many and varied. So what he says here is Shabda Sparshadiyaha stands for all of the sense objects, Vedyaha, which are objects of our knowledge. All of them in this waking state are experienced separately. Pratak. This is different from this is different. That's pratak. Everything is different from everything else. So they are experienced separately because of the nature of the creation, because of their diversity. Nobody's going to have any sense, it's just each thing is the same experience as the next thing. No. Okay. We don't have to go there. But consciousness now, we have to differentiate our experience, you know, of consciousness, the consciousness of all of these things, which is synonymous with saying the knownness of all of these things. If I say knower, what I'm really saying is all of these things are known. I'm asking, well, how are they known? By whom are they known? They are known by me. Why do you say known? Because I am the conscious being that illumines all of these things. And myself, as we'll see later, being that conscious being, you know, is self-evident, because consciousness is self-evident. And my own being, because of the nature of my own being, anything that comes in its wake, in its orb, is known. Consciousness is known. Consciousness is self-evident. And so that anything that comes into its orb then enjoys that consciousness, which we label with our language as it is known. This thing comes into consciousness, it is known. This thing comes into consciousness, it is known. It could also, if this thing comes into consciousness, then it is consciousness rupa, consciousness thing. Right? This wall comes into consciousness, it is wall consciousness. You know? The consciousness never changes at all. What that means is you never change. You never change. The objects of your experience change. You are the conscious being. If you're not the conscious being, that's the anyonya adhyasa, that's that mutual superimposition that takes place because of the ajnanam, the ignorance that the mind enjoys in reference to yourself, which causes a lack of viveka, an aviveka. The mind has no discrimination between me and the objects of perception that are coming. The whole satyam mitya viveka. Viveka jnanam, satyam mitya viveka jnanam. If we have these things, it's complete. But we have to see it in so many ways to really understand it. So here, so it says, so all of these things that are known, all of the sense objects that are known, are separate, obviously, in this waking state because of the tremendous variety. Each thing is obviously different from the other. But the consciousness of them is different from them, right? But it's not different from itself. Here, object, 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 object. But here it's not conscious, conscious, conscious. There's no such thing. There's only one consciousness. There's nothing behind that consciousness. Anything that's other than consciousness is objectified and objectified, so there's no room for anything but consciousness itself. It's a different order of reality. It's not an object within the creation. So now, he's just starting by using this waking state, right? And noticing the difference in this waking state between me, the conscious being, and all of these objects in the creation. How they all differ from each other, and they differ from consciousness, but consciousness doesn't have a second consciousness to differentiate itself from. How could it? Because if it did, it would have to be within time and space to be able to have two things there. If it's not within time and space, then I just simply am me. And there's only one of us. So now having made this distinction in reference to the waking state, he goes to the dream state. So repeat after me. Tata swapne. Atravedyam.
Atravedyam.
Tu na stiram.
Tu na stiram.
Jagare stiram.
Jagare stiram.
Tat bedaha.
Tat bedaha.
Ataha tayoho.
Ataha tayoho.
Ataha tayoho.
Ataha tayoho.
Samvit.
Samvit.
Ekarupa.
Ekarupa.
Nabhidyate.
Nabhidyate.
So he says, tata swapne. Similar, it's the same, tata, similar, or it's the same. Tata, tata swapne. It's the same in the dream. Tata swapne, swapne, in the dream. Same in the dream as what? Same in the waking state? This is the situation. It's exactly the same in the dream. Not exactly. But it's the same in the dream. Part of it is exactly, part is different. So here it says, it's the same to toss what may in the dream. Atra vedyam tu, but here, atra tu, but here, in the dream mean, but here in the dream, vedyam, an object of knowledge, any vedyam, any object of knowledge, or the whole dream you can take as vedyam, because you're the little Ishwar of the dream, so it says in the dream. There's a difference, and it says, but in this dream, here in the dream, vedyam, that which is to be known, anything objectifiable, that which is to be known, nastiram, it is not steady. It changes. And also, if you wake up and you try to get it back, you can't. And everything that you experience in the dream can, because it's so malleable, it can change course right in the middle of the dream. You know, it can change into another dream within the dream. You know, you can just move all around, and then if you wake up and you really want to get it back so you can finish it, you know, that I do have some tricks for that. We'll do that in the meditation. Okay, but it's obviously the dream is not steady, you know. You can wake up from it. It can change and morph into all kinds of different things while the dream itself is going on, and you can wake up from it. It's not there. So the dream, you know, it's not steady, whereas jagare stiram, in the waking state, the vedyas are steady. Like, for instance, say I leave, like I do, I leave my shawl in here. And then I remember I left my shawl in the on this thing here, on this platform, I left my shawl. I'm in my room. I say, okay, I'll go back and get it. And I come back and I get it because it's still here. It's theta. It's not my imagination. The dream is what we call pratibhasika. It's like if I ask you to have an imagination, that takes some work to kind of hold on to that imagination and keep that story going for us, that because it wants to go and just dissipate, you know. It doesn't want to stay. It wants to do its little imaginal thing and leave. Well, the dream is like that too. It does its little imaginal thing and then it leaves, and the next day, once in a while you get a repeating dream, but not very often actually. And even if you do get a repeating dream, that doesn't mean the story is continuing or it's exactly the same either. So we know that these dreams are ephemeral, you know, they're not solid. But in the waking state, we don't have that experience. Not that we know that everything changes, but they're not ephemeral. Ephemeral means very transitory, like the dream state. It's a different quality. This is not my imagination. I'm in this imagination. I'm in Ishwar's creation. And so my imaginings, or if I walk across, you know, if I walk down into Cheflu or something, I can come back and this place will be here because this is Ishwara. If I did it in my imagination, who knows if I would who knows if I would make it back and in what direction I would. Maybe I would fly back. I could do anything I wanted, actually. So that stetum is not there. So what he says is, so he starts out similarly. It's the same in the dream as it is in the waking, except for this, that the dream state is not stita. It's not steady. You know, you can't count on it remaining. Where the waking state, we can more or less count on it because it's of Ishwara's order. It's a shared, another way to think of this is in Ishwara's creation, it's what we call Vyavaharika. Vyavaharika means it's a shared reality. Like we can all have the same experience of we know that we're here where we are and that we're seated here. We know where our room is and we can go back to our room. It's a shared reality. We're sharing this experience. The dream isn't like that. So this stira, this nastiram and then jagare stiram, sitting much steadier in the waking. Even though there's change, it's different. So he says, tad bedaha attaha. Therefore, we have to say that even though there's similarity between the two, waking and dream, there's also a difference. So he says, tad bedaha attaha. Therefore, that difference is there. There is a beda, a difference between the two, between the waking and dream. And that difference has to do with one is steady, solid, and the other is ephemeral, changing all the time, you know, imaginal. So that difference is there between these two, you know. But he says, tayoho samvit. But the consciousness in both states, the waking and the dream, the consciousness samvit in both of these states, waking and dream, nabidyate. That is not different. That doesn't change. Why? Ekarupa. Because it is, nature is only one. There aren't two of them. There's nothing there. There's no parts. You know, everything that can be objectified is differentiated from consciousness. Consciousness is free of time and space because time and space are objectifiable. So consciousness is, we have to look at it as a different order of reality. Different order of reality from the order of reality that we call mitya. Mitya comes into being and goes out of being. What is satyam has no prior or posterior condition. Satyam simply is being itself. It doesn't come into being or go out of being. It simply is. That means it's free of change. It can be differentiated from anything that is objectifiable. Anything that is objectifiable, this whole world, including space, air, fire, water, earth, all of the elements, you know, I can shut my eyes and they can be gone. I can get rid of the experience of anything in the waking state. Anything in the dream state, that experience can be removed. The waking state is displaced by the dream state. So we see in the deep sleep state displaces the dream and the waking. So these states of experience, all three of them, they actually negate each other. But then the consciousness now here in this verse, the consciousness between, in both of the states, now the waking and the dream state, that consciousness is not two. How is it going to be two? It has to belong to one or the other then. If consciousness belongs to the other, to the one, like to the waking state, then it's an object within the waking state. If it's the witness or the sakshi or the consciousness which the waking state enjoys, then when the waking state is displaced by your dream state, then there's nothing displacing the consciousness at all. Consciousness just remains the same, which is saying, I remain the same. I'm not touched by it one way or the other, which is your experience. We don't think about it, but, you know, we don't think about it because we're so conditioned to be this body, mind, sense organs in this creation, so we don't need to, doesn't come to our mind what's actually going on. But you yourself say, you know, I had this amazing dream last night. Or I had this silly dream. I had a dream last night. You know? I here, in the waking state, the waker, the consciousness, the me that illumines this waking state, whose consciousness, you know, is not divided by any of the objects which I illumine, because I am the conscious being, right? And all of these objects are illumined by me. They are known, they are known, they are known. They are known by who? By me. But I am not the knower. I am the consciousness because of which they are illumined. You can call yourself the knower, but that'll drop after a while, you know, because your knowership will actually morph into just consciousness itself. The knower means that you're doing something to know. Consciousness means that just your natural state of being is the luminary because of which everything that comes into your experience is known. So this consciousness that is the me of the waker, I say, I had a dream last night. How do you know? That dream's not here anymore. How do you know you had a dream? Because it was my dream. I know I had a dream. I'm the sakshi of the dream. I'm the witness of the dream. It was my dream. The one who is here right now is the one who is there then. Yeah? So there's no change in me. There's a total change in the worlds. The dream world is like a subtle world with dream characters that you're identified with doing totally different things than you're doing in the waking state, which is another world, right? The two negate each other. You don't have a dream state and a waking state at the same time. And the waking body is different than the dream body. That's what's so important about this waking dream deep sleep. The waking body that is you in the waking state is a different body in the dream state, but that's your body. You've got another body in the dream state. You have this body in the waking state, this body in the dream state. You have these relationships in the waking state, you have these relationships in the dream state. And I'm the self of both of them. That means I can't have anything to do with any of these relationships, and I can't have any identification with either one of these worlds. Because I'm the, actually, really speaking, I am the Adhishtana. They're both mitya. I'm the Adhishtana of both of these. There's never any change for me. And I am the consciousness which the whole thing enjoys. So he says, the consciousness, even though I am different than these two states, the waking state, which is much more sthira, much more steady, and the dream state, which is not sthira, which is very malleable, I am different. You know, I am different from both of those, but I can't differentiate me from another consciousness because I'm not an object in either one of those states. I survive both of those states. Both of the waking state and the dream state negate each other. And negating each other, they negate everything that's in each other. Okay. So the waking state, the waker, and everything in it is negated by the dream state and the dream characters and everything in that. They negate each other. I'm the only thing that is not negated because I'm their Adhishtana. I'm a different order of reality. I'm conscious being. There's no little conscious being running around. There's bodies running around and sense organs and minds and all of these things, but these are all upadis that depend upon consciousness. But consciousness doesn't take on its own form. Non-dual consciousness walking around doesn't have any legs, it doesn't have any sense organs, it doesn't have a mind, it doesn't have any nama-rupa. It's just the truth of everything. It's the truth of everything. It can't have the qualities of one thing. Right? If it's the self of, if consciousness is the Adhishtana, the self of absolutely everything, it can't have, unique to itself, the qualities of any given thing. Whatever it is, conscious being is, it has to be the Adhishtana or the non-dual truth of everything that is, and therefore it can't be stuck on one guna or one quality within the creation. It's not possible, because then it'll be limited to that and it can't be everything else. And so, true to our experience, the Sat-Chit conscious being is me, because I don't take myself to be non-existent or inert. So this conscious being, which is me, is also the truth, the non-dual, I would say, the common denominator of every experience I have. Because every single experience that I have, you have, or Ishwara has, or all the living beings all of the animals, all of the trees. One non-dual common experience is that it is. You can just go, it is. Sweep it through the whole creation, every object in the creation. Take your imagination, it is. Everything in the imagination is. Take the dream state, it is. Everything in the dream is. And it is known. Such it is, and it is known. Just sweep anything that comes into your sphere as a limited jiva. Still, if it comes into your sphere, it is and it is known. There's no exceptions. And there's emotions, no exceptions. It is known. Yeah. Any vritti, any memory, any imagination, any perception, it is and it is known. Because that's the adhishtana. That's the truth. And so what am I? I am and I am known. Such it. So all the way from the wall, all the way here, to the body, to the mind, to the sense organs, all of these things, except they are known. You get to just your own being. I am and I am known. That's it. So, amness, all of this is am, I am. This is Swamiji. It am. And, what? It is known, it is known, it is known, it is known. And so now it's just a question of recognizing my being as the adhishtana, as the reality, as the common denominator. I'm the common denominator of absolutely everything that I experience. So now I have to remember, we can do a meditation on this tomorrow, where you break out of this embodied enclosure. You're not enclosed in any way. But the problem that we have with understanding that yourself is not enclosed like a pea in the pod in this body is it's because we only think within in terms of time and space for my own nature, you know. But if I am free from time and space myself, once you recognize your being is free from time and space, then your self-experience is not an embodied experience. It's also not big or small. It's not tall or short. It's not red or black or brown. These things are all totally inapplicable. You simply are, and there is no enclosure whatsoever to your being. And the other problem with that is that there is enclosure as though from the standpoint of the upadis. Because this upadi, this body, mind, sense organs, it enjoys the sense of touch pervading through it. And so the body, from its own standpoint, takes on the form of the body. Consciousness takes on the form of the body. You know, from the mind is sattva. And so whatever is illumined by the mind, that mind, because of ajnanam, it enjoys consciousness. And that consciousness, that vritti is different from your vritti, is different from your vritti. And that consciousness belongs to me, the mind says. So then it becomes as though enclosed by the mind. But that's all because of the upadis, because of the sattva, reflecting as though, manifesting the self. But from your standpoint, just this me, then we have to spend some time with that to see, am I enclosed in any way? You know, is there, if I am the conscious being that is the self of all beings, if I am the conscious being that is the adhishtana of everything I experience, then how can I be a little pea in the pod? You know what that means? Like if you have a... Okay. I didn't want to be like the meadow. You know? A little pea in the pod, you know? Where you're just a little piece of little round marble of consciousness or something inside the upadi. That's not it. And that is not your experience either. But you're not used to being, just being... being yourself alone. You're used to only relating to yourself from the nama-rupa, from the upadi. So you don't recognize, you know, your being is not enclosed at all. So anyway, so that samvit, because of being one alone, one ekarupya means non-dual. There is nothing else. All of this is mithya. It doesn't have anything. Otherwise, there's this some kind of consciousness that's real and the creation that's also real. Creation is not real, it's mithya. It doesn't have its own being or existence. There's only one being, and that being is me. There's only one self. And so that self is just pure consciousness. It's not divided by anything. There's nothing that separates it from anything else. Okay. So now, what about deep sleep? Okay. Repeat after me. Supta.
Supta.
Utitasya.
Utitasya.
Saushupta.
Saushupta.
Tamo bodaha.
Tamo bodaha.
Bhavet.
Bhavet.
Smritihi.
Smritihi.
Sacha.
Sacha.
Avabuddha.
Avabuddha.
Vishaya.
Vishaya.
Avabuddham.
Avabuddham.
Tattada.
Tattada.
Tamaha. So, supta uttitasya, for the person who is waking, has woken up from a deep sleep, supta means sleep. So, uttita means uttitasya for somebody who has woken up from sleep, from deep sleep. Sau shukta tamo bodha bhavet smritihi. There is a memory, it's called a smriti, there is a memory that takes place which and that memory is in this form. It is in the form of knowledge of the ignorance that is there in the deep sleep state. So sau shukta means the deep sleep state. Tamas means ajnanam. And bodha means that knowledge. So what's saying by knowledge, that experience, you can say, so for the person who wakes up from the deep sleep, there is a memory which is a recognition of the state of ignorance, in that deep sleep state. And so that ignorance is in the form of, I don't know anything. So they'll say that, you know, like, what was it like when you're in deep sleep? You know, what was that? Well, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything at all. It's just pure ignorance. And I slept really well. Okay. Now, when you were in deep sleep, there was nobody commenting like this or describing the experience, because the whole mind was in a causal condition. So there's no knower known situation going on in the deep sleep state. Say so. That being so, how can it, so there's no knowledge there, and yet when you wake up from the deep sleep, you have a memory of that condition. And that memory is, I didn't know anything. There was just pure ignorance there. I am aware that I didn't know anything in that deep sleep state. So that memory being, so she says, that memory is there. Then he says, Sacha, and that of a Buddha Vishaya. That memory, a memory, now he's just defining a memory. A memory is, has for its vishaya, has for its subject matter, something which is of a Buddha, something which is already known, which has been experienced, if I put it in English. A memory, any memory you have, has for its subject matter, has for its content, something which has been experienced, something which has been known before. So that being the case, he says, avabuddham tattada tamaha. He says, therefore this ajnanam has to have been experienced before. That's a smriti, right? So you had to have had the experience of it in order to have a memory that says, when I was in the deep sleep, I didn't know anything. There was just ajnanam there. How do you know? Well, I remember. That's what it was like in deep sleep. I had no experience of any knowledge, just experience only of a jnana, and I can describe that. So this is this is an interesting condition. People have a lot of trouble with the deep sleep, you know, but I think they want it to be like an inference, or like they want to say about the deep sleep something like, well, I went to sleep and I woke up, I went to sleep at, you know, 9 at night, and I woke up at 5 in the morning, and there was all of these hours. But the one who went to sleep is the one who is here, you know. So I infer that there is something that we call deep sleep. That's what people want to say, to think, well, they have no recollection, no memory of it. You do have a recollection. You have a recollection of not knowing anything. You can go, we can all describe our deep sleep. I didn't know anything. There's no subject-object duality in the deep sleep. It was a very deep sleep. I didn't seem to wake up at all. Time just went by. I have no consciousness of time. You know, I slept very happily, and I didn't know anything. So these are just ways we talk about it. So what we say is that it has to be a memory, because the conscious being is there and the antakarana is there. The mind is there. It's just in causal condition. Causal condition is the karana sharira, is ajnanam. That's the causal condition of the mind. And actually both shariras, its causal condition is ajnanam. And so now what happens when the maya upadhi, the jiva upadhi in this case, goes into its causal condition? And awareness is there, because awareness, consciousness, is the adhishtana, the very being of that causal condition. So what does that mean? Consciousness is illumining, not because it's doing anything, it's because it is the luminary. That luminary is illumining this causal condition that the antakarana, that the mind, which is pure sattva, goes into. It's not functioning. Sattva is not functioning at this time, but it is still sattva. And so now, consciousness illumines sattva in its causal condition, right? Sense organs and mind in its causal condition. So what is that experience? It's the illumining of ajnanam, where there's no subject-object duality, nothing is known, there's no division, it's what we call nirvikalpa. It's without any type of subject-object differentiation. It's free of any vikalpa, any duality. And so consciousness illumines this non-dual state of ajnanam. It's not the non-dual state of consciousness, it's the non-dual state of ajnanam, which is the causal condition of the body, mind, sense organs. And in this case, the knower known depends upon the antakarana, the sattva. And so that is in causal condition. And so why do you get to talk, we all talk the same about what it's like to be in deep sleep. We all love it. We're all in, you know, love to have slept really well, and always I slept so well. Oh my God. We love that, you know. And we all know that there's no subject-object relationship. Why? Because we have a memory of it. Okay. And that's pretty good. Yeah, he does this really well. This is actually really difficult to get across, but to people, especially Edward. he's been bugging me about this particular thing for many years, like 4 years of them. Yeah, but why? Because it can be tricky, because you like, say, for someone like him, he's a really, really enviously deep sleeper. He's the deepest sleeper I've ever met in my life. He very rarely dreams it. When he loves to sleep, so he'll be listening to this. He loves to sleep. So, but what his experience is, he goes to sleep, and quickly he goes to sleep, and then he wakes up. That's deep sleep. Yeah. Can you imagine? And he enjoys it so much. But I say, how do you enjoy it when you just close your eyes and open it? It's like, you know. I like that kind of getting to go to sleep, but you kind of surface and go to sleep. So it gets elongated through time because of these little moments of coming back, you know. But for him, it's like going into an anesthetic or something. And so for him, it's like nothing has happened. Well, you know what? That's also an argument. That if nothing has happened, that there is no time, because actually in deep sleep, time is not there, because there's no duality. For duality, there has to be a marking of time. And so when time is in its unmanifest condition, you know, because no duality, then there is no experience of time between you the one who went to sleep and you, the one, was woken up. So how can, what are you worried about then? There is no ever any kind of experience of time in reference to the self, and this is just a good example of it. Anyway, to complete this, we have two more verses, so, and I want to be able to actually spend some more fresh time in this, just to, so we'll do it next class. Okay, I'll stop here.
Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.